Hi, I'm Phil Grove, and welcome to Mortgage Assignment Profits. I'm pretty excited about this product. We also call this How to Sell Unsellable Houses You've Never Seen to Unloanable Buyers You've Never Met. So hopefully you've gotten a little bit of rest and you're ready to start absorbing this material. I suggest that you go through it, you know, 30 to 45 to 90 minutes at a time, depending on how much energy you have. Get your book out, take plenty of notes, and fasten your seatbelts. We're ready to get started. Before I get into the meat of the presentation, I need to do a little housekeeping, so let me take my deep breath. This subject matter is for educational purposes only. We are not lawyers, CPAs, financial planners, etc. You should always have your contracts, taxes, business plans, etc. reviewed by an attorney and or financial advisor before completing any real estate transactions. All right, I'd really like to start by just saying congratulations. You know, you are now part of an investor tidal wave that is the next huge moneymaker in real estate investing. This program is cutting edge. This is the precise, laser-focused strategies needed for today's specific market and market environment. This was built by real investors like myself who are working in the trenches and trying different strategies today and have tuned all of the best strategies that are making us money today. The challenges of today's market are immense. There are sellers out there, and the majority of them have little, no, or negative equity. And at the same time, buyers cannot get loans. And while all that's going on, investors have limited capital, have no bank credit, and a minimal tolerance for risk. So there's a lot of challenges, but I just want to always remind my students, you know, great fortunes are made in tough economic times by people that solve problems. So what we're doing here is we are giving you tools to solve problems. We're giving you the tools to buy houses, even houses that have no equity at all, from today's sellers and provide loans to today's buyers, all with minimal risk and minimal capital. So these are the exact tools for exactly the market we're making. I always like to tell my students, you know, you're in the middle of the biggest transfer of wealth in history. You're either going to be on the side of the gainers or on the side of the losers. These are the tools that you need to be on the side of the gainers. So just before we dig into mortgage assignment, let's back up a little bit and talk about what's going on in the marketplace and how the market has evolved over the last few years. So from 2003 to 2007, this is what the real estate market looked like. We always have people calling us. We call them motivated sellers. And we do marketing. We teach all sorts of different marketing strategies, we buy houses type marketing, to get people who want to sell their homes to call us. And every time we get a call from a seller, their situation is a little bit different. But they tend to fall into groupings where you start to see, depending on the market conditions, you know, the majority of sellers tend to have similar situations. So from 2003 to 2007, this little green bubble here shows, generally speaking, where the majority, and by the majority I mean about 90% of the motivated sellers fell. You know, some of them had equity. They had sometimes 10 or 20 or 30% equity, but some of them had no equity. They had just bought their homes with zero down, or they even had some negative equity, maybe 10 or 20% underwater. And when we have a lot of motivated sellers that fall into that area, short sales makes a lot of sense. You know, short sales are the only way, pretty much, you could sell a house in that time frame that had negative equity or no equity. And short sales made a lot of sense because it was easy to find the sellers and buyers could easily get loans. You know, if you take a look at the little chart at the bottom of this of the slide, you've got ease of lending. From 2003 to 2007, pretty much they held a mirror under your nose. If they saw fog, you got a loan. So anybody could get loans, and it was super easy to find short sales, negotiate discounts, and to sell them to people who had loans, and that were just about everybody. Listings also made sense. We did a lot of listing referrals. I'm not a realtor, but my wife and partner is a realtor, and I work with a lot of realtors, and we refer a lot of listing traditional business to them. And when people had, you know, a little bit of equity or a lot of equity, listings made a lot of sense. On occasion, we also used what we call the alternative strategies. We did wraparound mortgages, equity holding trusts, and lease options. And these were all strategies that basically allowed people to sell houses, even if they had no equity, by wrapping the loan. But they weren't all that popular 3 or 4 or 5 years ago or longer, simply because it was so easy for anybody to get a loan that if you wanted to sell homes with financing, you were selling to people who couldn't even fog a mirror. I mean, you were had a pretty, you know, subprime clientele. And a lot of those deals were not very successful. So this chart kind of lays some groundwork for a lot of things we're going to be talking about in the mortgage assignment program. So you might want to kind of get familiar with this because we're going to refer back to this as we go through each of the different strategies. And this is where it all started, 2003, 2007. That's kind of where you saw the majority of your motivated sellers. Now let's zip a little forward to where we are right now. Okay, after 2008, the market started to reshape itself dramatically. And what you can see is that that bubble of the 90% of motivated sellers, it kind of shifted to the left and it shifted up. What does that mean? Well, at the bottom of the chart, you can see ease of lending. How hard was it to get a loan? And basically, it went from everybody gets a loan to nobody gets a loan. It went literally rail to rail. And we tell story after story after story about all the difficulty it is to get loans. It's very difficult to get loans. There's FHA and Fannie and government guaranteed loans for people with ordinary jobs and good credit in certain situations. But for the vast majority of people that want to buy houses, those loans no longer exist. And then you see, you know, the bubble of the majority of motivated sellers moved up. And what does that simply mean? It means that homes went down in value, right? Whatever equity was in the homes got reduced. So now instead of seeing a lot of houses where we have 10 or 20 or 30% equity or more, that's a lot less common than it used to be. A lot of people only have 10% equity or no equity, or they have negative equity, negative 10, negative 20, negative 20, 30 or more, depending on where you are and what you're doing. So, you know, there's less equity and there's fewer loans. And as the market shifted, what that means is that the strategies that made money, you know, 5 years ago are totally different than the strategies that make money today. You know, for example, short sales is no longer very easy to make money from as an investor. And the simple reason is it's easy to find short sales. They're a dime a dozen, but you simply can't sell them. There's very, very few people that you can flip them to. And we'll talk more about short sales in the future, but it's just harder and harder to sell them because there's fewer loans available and there's tons of houses available. And why would anybody want to screw around and buy a short sale when they can get, and I'm talking about civilians, you know, a million other houses with good deals. It's harder to do listings. You know, when people have no equity, they can't list it with a conventional realtor unless they bring money to the table. But the alternative strategies are coming more into play. Now, all of a sudden, there's many more opportunities to do these alternative financing strategies, and the buyers are a lot better than they used to be. The buyers have money, and the buyers are interested in buying, and they can't get conventional financing, so they're looking for alternative financing. And finally, what we call mortgage assignment. Mortgage assignment has gone, you know, into the green zone, right? It's right in the heart of where the sellers are. And the reason for that is because mortgage assignment is the perfect strategy, and you're going to learn more about it as we go through this, for assigning those mortgages that are good mortgages from all those sellers that have no equity to the buyers. So it solves the ease of lending problem down at the bottom because we're now providing loans to all the people who can't get loans, and it solves the seller's problem of being able to sell, you know, homes with little, no, or negative equity and to sell those homes quickly. So I'm very, very excited about, you know, the opportunity that we're now faced with and these tools to take advantage of this opportunity. And I have to tell you, in particular, I'm excited about how much money I'm going to be making over the next 5 years. You know, I was a big proponent of short sales from 2002 to 2007. In fact, I did over 1,000 short sales. I made several million dollars for myself as a short sale investor. And I still do short sales. I still have a major short sale transaction processing company. I'm still one of the nation's leading experts in short sales. So I'm not dissing short sales. But I have to say, short sales are a lot of work and not a lot of money. So it was really hard making that money doing short sales. And when I look forward over the next 5 years, I see that, you know, there's a lot more money to be made and more easily, which is something I like, when you take a look at what the opportunity that we have today is. So I put this little chart together just to kind of summarize, you know, short sales versus mortgage assignments, you know, then and now, and it'll give you a little idea of what we've got to look forward to for the next 5 years. You know, whenever I look at an investing strategy, I say, okay, how hard is this to do and how much money are we going to make? So first, how hard is it to find sellers? Well, with both short sales and mortgage assignments, you're simply finding people that have to sell their homes that have minimal, no, or negative equity. And those are really easy to find. So easy to find for short sales, easy to find for mortgage assignment. How easy is it to find the buyers? Well, unfortunately, with short sales, it's really hard because the buyers either need to have cash or they need to have loans, and that's become the difficult thing to get. With mortgage assignment, we're providing the financing by wrapping or assigning the existing loans, so the buyers are easy to get. How long does it take to get paid? That's something we as investors always like. Unfortunately, short sales are taking longer and longer and longer. Typically, they take 4 to 6 months. Sometimes they take 9 to 12 months. We just did one that took 17 months. They can take a very, very long time before you get paid on them. Typical time to get paid on a mortgage assignment, you know, typically it's 1 to 6 weeks. It might be, you know, 3 months on the long deals. So very fast time to money. Success rate, you know, how often can we actually flip a short sale? So I always like to tell my students the truth, and I tell them the whole truth. And a lot of people that teach this stuff don't ever tell the whole truth. But the whole truth is only about 1 in 10 short sales will ever end up being a flip. The odds of getting the short sale approved and negotiated, you know, maybe 50-50, and then the odds of actually finding an end buyer and being able to line up a simultaneous close, transactional funding, and do all the other things, and to get it negotiated with enough margin and to be able to flip it, at best, 1 out of 10 ends up being a flip. So you get a 10% chance of success. On mortgage assignments, we're seeing about a 90% chance of success. Once we find the buyer, it's easy to find the buyers. Chance of success for realtors. You know, when we're doing short sales and we're simply processing them for realtors, you know, so we're not flipping them, there's maybe a 40, 50% chance of success. Again, with mortgage assignments, closer to 90%. Now, here's the number that I'm really excited about. Average profit per deal. On average, when we flip a short, we make about $15,000 a deal. Sometimes we make a lot more, sometimes we make less. The numbers are all over the place. But we, on average, make about $15,000 a flip. But the catch is, it only happens on about 1 in 10 short sales that we do. So if you have $15,000 10% of the time, then when we get the phone call and we start doing a short sale, on average, we're making $1,500 a deal. This simply because a lot of the deals never go anywhere. It doesn't mean we're losing money, but we're spending a lot of time to do a lot of deals to make, on average, $1,500 a deal. On mortgage assignment, on the other hand, because it is successful about 90% of the time, you know, 90% of the time, you're going to make an average profit of about $8,000. So 90% of $8,000 is on average about $7,200 a deal. So when I just look at the scalability of this strategy, it's like, wow, we can make on average a lot more money per deal. We can do a lot more deals, and the deals are easy to find and easy to complete. Couple of other things, regulatory challenges. You know, short sales have become a nightmare from a regulatory perspective. Fannie and Freddie and FHA keep putting seasoning requirements on loans. In other words, they tell the underwriters that you cannot fund a deal that's a flip. You know, the buyer has to have taken title at least 90 days before. There's tricks and workarounds and things like that, but it's just very difficult to actually be able to do those things. In some states and some title companies and closing agents have flipping regulations that won't allow them to do flips. Even some of the lenders, like the biggest lenders in the country, are including letters with their approvals of the short sales that say you are not allowed to flip this property within 30 days of buying it. So, I mean, it's crazy. I'm not even sure that's legal. I have an attorney that tells me it's probably not legal, but regardless, the title companies are going to listen to what the instructions say. So it's becoming very, very challenging, difficult, in some cases impossible, to actually flip those short sales. You don't have any of those issues on the mortgage assignment side. And finally, the money required by the investor. How much money does it cost to do a short sale? It depends. You know, if you're trying to do a flip, you're going to need either transactional funding, or you're going to have to come up with cash or hard money or some kind of money to season the property until you get the buyer lined up. That can be very challenging. With mortgage assignment, you know, you're not even a party to the transaction. You don't have to have any money at all in the deal. So I'm really excited, if it doesn't show by now, about what I'm going to be making my money on, what I've already started, and what I will be making the majority of my money on for the next 5 years, because compared to the last 5 years, you know, this is going to be a walk in the park.
Well, now that Phil's gone through that amazing introduction, I want to just take you back to the agenda, just to let you know what we're going to be talking about in this presentation, and specifically all the different strategies that we're going to be going over in this course. So right now we're on the agenda for Mortgage Assignment Profit Systems section. The first thing that we're going to go over with you is the marketing, how to find these buyers, how to find these sellers, how to put these deals together from that standpoint. We're also going to go through some detailed information regarding the acquisition section, regarding lead processing, how, you know, what to do when you actually get a call, the deal analysis, the actual contracts that we use, and you know, you're going to obviously have those reviewed by your attorney, but we want to show them to you as an example so you know what we do, and the due diligence. You know, how do you go about making sure that this is the right deal and this deal is going to hold up? Section C is the actual mortgage assignment section, where we're going to go into a ton of detail on this strategy in particular, and we're going to go through all the sections on papering up the deal and go through everything that you need to know to get these deals done. And then, because not every deal fits into, you know, the exact, you know, box that we've created for you using the mortgage assignment system, we've also put together a module for you for other strategies, what we call alternative strategies. And those include wraparound mortgages, equity holding trusts, and occasionally lease options. So we're going to go through those alternatives so you know what and in what situations you'll actually need or want to plug them in. And it'll just give you more options with both your seller and your buyer, which is going to put you at a, you know, better position of knowledge, and you're going to be able to much easily sell these deals. And then we're going to go through some combo plans, because again, not every, you know, situation is going to fit into a particular deal exactly, or the particular strategy that we've set up for you. So we've not only expanded into the alternative strategies, but we've also combined many of those strategies so that, again, you'll have the ability to put these deals together in a different way. Let's say, for example, someone has a little bit of equity and has some time to sell their home, and they would prefer to do it the conventional way. Well, you might use the listing referral method. You may even consider the house swapping method. method or even a short sell if they're already behind and maybe too far behind to do the mortgage assignment. We've also got some equity strategies that we're going to share with you. Now, we go through this mainly in our separate course, which is called the Revolution Real Estate Training Course, but we go ahead and go through a very brief introduction to you of what some of those equity strategies actually are. Now, lucky for you, we've also included several bonuses, and that's going to be the business of real estate investing, where I'm going to talk to you guys about sort of making this your business and building a true business out of it as opposed to just doing it one-off. I'm going to tell you how to systematize it and go through it in a way so that you're going to be successful. So we're going to talk about the business planning basics. And then for you guys out there who want to get really advanced, we also have advanced business management, where we're going to go over different business structures and just different ways to set your business up efficiently from people who've actually done it. Section G is the REI Matcher. This is one of the most exciting tools that we have come out with to date. We are really just thrilled to bring you guys this. You know, we love, we're students of the market. You know, we study what's going on in the market. But Phil, he's also a major technology nut. So he's used his love of technology as well as his studying of the market. He's combined those two and created the REI Matcher platform for you, which is going to be the greatest thing really since sliced bread. It slices, it dices, it does everything else. No, seriously, what it's going to do is going to help you automate your business. So, you know, we've got a system where you put your buyers in, you put your sellers in, and they are matched based on the criteria that you put in. There are a ton of other features that are in this, but I'm going to actually save those for Phil to go through in that particular section. So welcome again to the Mortgage Assignment Profit Systems Training, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to let Phil take off in the next couple of slides with some introductions about, well, me and him.
So before we wrap up the introduction, I do want to spend just a couple of minutes laying a little background, telling you a little bit about who I am, who my partner is, who is Love American Home. Some of you have worked with us before and maybe already know us, but for those of you who don't, here's a little bit about us. So who is Love American Homes? Who's Phil Grove? Who am I? Well, here's my story. Western Kansas roots, mostly family of wheat farmers, probably best described as a product of my genes. My grandfather on one side of the family was a farmer and inventor, probably my genetic inspiration for becoming an electrical engineer. Father on the other side was a small town banker and literally, and I mean literally, saved 50 cents of every dollar he ever made since the Great Depression. Vested it in mostly the stock market for 60 years. That strategy does work, by the way, and really instilled a work hard and save attitude and mentality in myself and my family. Dad became a corporate lawyer, moved the family to New York in the late 60s, where I mostly grew up. Small family, one sister who's an artist. And I grew up and decided I wanted to be an engineer, and so I studied electrical engineering and computer science, and I went on to have a 16-year high-tech career in a whole variety of different high-tech positions. I ended up settling in Austin, Texas in the mid-90s. I used to come to Austin, Texas on business. And I simply wanted to live there and had an opportunity to take a job in Texas, and I took it because I loved the idea of living in Austin. And I didn't know anything about real estate at the time. I was curious about it, but for the most part, I was busy in high tech. So I started kind of thinking about real estate and tinkering with the idea of real estate. Bought my own home. That was really the only investing I did in the short term. But over time, as I got bored and burned out in high tech, I started to get more and more involved in other things, and eventually I ended up getting into real estate. And once I got into real estate, I started becoming active in the community, and I would always describe and recommend, any new investor, you should get active in your community. Go to your local real estate clubs, meet other investors, do networking. That's exactly what I did. And as I did more and more networking, I was invited to join the board of directors of the Texas Real Estate Investors Association, a statewide body that promotes ethical investing standards and lobbies on behalf of investors. Got to meet a lot of investors that way. I got invited to be on the board of directors for the Real Estate Investment Club of Austin, which at the time was the biggest investing club in Austin. And then I eventually became the president of the Real Estate Networking Club, the other club in town in Austin, Texas, and just got to know lots of different investors. I founded my first company, Love Austin Homes, also known as Love American Homes. We founded this in 2003. That's really when I started real estate investing. And I started almost at the very beginning doing short sales. I hired somebody to help me do short sales. I started doing short sales for other investors. And before you know it, I had a whole short sale transaction processing company that I still have today. It's actually one of the nation's largest transaction processing companies. We also help people with mortgage assignment, owner financing, other types of investment needs. We do partnering with people through Love American and Homes, and we provide real estate training and education, and we basically teach people all across the country how to become real estate investors, and this is just a way that we help other people get into this business and expand our own network in the process. We founded our second company, Hippie Hollow Homes, in 2004, and it's a little insider joke. If you want to, you can look up Hippie Hollow and Austin on the internet, and you'll get the joke. Everybody in Texas already knows it. But that's our fun little company that does flipping and buying, flipping, renovating, etc. We also do all of our short sale flips through that company and have helped many homeowners avoid foreclosure by helping to buy their home and or resell it again through Hippie Hollow Homes. So that's a little bit about me. My lovely partner, Shanoa, who's also my wife and partner and real estate broker, real estate agent, and has many different charms and capabilities, she's a native Texan. Actually grew up in Austin, went to Austin High School, went to University of Texas, biggest university in the country right here in Austin, Texas. Went off and got an MBA at Rice. She is a fourth-generation real estate investor. I mean, her family has literally been investing in real estate for 50 years. So I didn't know anything about real estate before I met Shanoa, and she taught me, you know, basically how to buy and hold and flip and do a lot of things. She's an expert at identifying emerging neighborhoods. You know, when your family's been doing something for 50 years, you can just look, literally, and this is interesting, you can look at a neighborhood and you can just kind of see how it's going to evolve. You can predict, essentially, based on traffic, neighborhood, and a lot of different things, you can predict how one neighborhood is going to appreciate compared to another, and that's a very useful skill as part of a buy-and-hold strategy. She's very real estate investor-friendly and investor-savvy. She understands what investors are looking for, what their needs are. She is an investor herself, very capable of managing and negotiating and mentoring all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. She actually owns the Real Estate Networking Club of Austin, which is that's now the largest largest real estate investing club in Central Texas. And like I mentioned before, Shanoa herself is a licensed real estate agent. She's had her license since 2004. She's increased her sales volume yearly, outpacing the prior years, even in down markets. She is a member of the Austin Board of Realtors, Texas Association of Realtors, National Association of Realtors, and a licensed real estate broker as well. And she is my partner in Love American Homes. She's also developed what I call a proprietary investment grading system. I call it the Morningstar of the real estate world, this method of basically predicting how neighborhoods will appreciate over time, and that's an integral part of our buy and hold strategy, and I'm a big proponent of buying and holding to build wealth as well. So that's my partner, Shanoa. Just a little background on our company, Love American Homes. You know, we have basically three goals. You know, number one, generate income. And to generate income, we find, we fix, we flip, we assign, we use all these different strategies to basically get checks from real estate deals. And we've executed over 1,000 short sales, for example, well over 1,000. And we've executed scores and scores of rehabs, wholesales, auctions, swaps, flips, basically deals that have made us money. We've also generated over $1 million in partnering profits with our students. So we've done many, many partnerships with students and just flipping houses and splitting the profits with our students. We've split over $1 million in deals in that way. Also, generate investment wealth. You know, I'm a big believer that income is good. We all need income. We got to pay for our lifestyles and our mortgages. But it's also good to not sell them all. Keep some of your investments for long-term investments. We call that the get-rich-slow plan. And for example, just because we flip a lot of houses, sometimes we stumble upon really good deals and we simply keep them, usually as rental property. In fact, we have a portfolio that since 2003, we've been able to buy about $10 million worth of real estate that we owe less than $5 million on. So this has increased our net worth by over $5 million by simply keeping a lot of great deals. We get them with a lot of equity. In other words, we buy them at big discounts, and we keep the ones that are in really good high appreciation neighborhoods. They go up in value as we pay down the debt by having renters pay the mortgages. And eventually, you know, we owe less and less on property that's worth more and more. And that's really the key to building wealth in real estate. And then finally, homestead wealth. You know, I'm a big proponent as well as Shanoa in, you know, moving around. Sometimes you'll find as a real estate investor, sometimes we can get a house for half price. Not very often. We call those 1 in 100 deals. But if you get a house that's just, you know, pennies on the dollar, why not move into it? Call it your home if you live in it for 2 years and then sell it again. The government says a married couple living in a house for 2 years that sells the home can keep up to the first $500,000 completely tax-free. So I don't know about you, but an extra 500 grand right to the bottom line tax-free every other year, that's a pretty nice perk, and it might be something that you're going to want to include in your overall investing strategy. So why are we here? Well, you know, to sum it up, we love real estate. We do it 24/7. I mean, we literally work 7 days a week. That doesn't mean we work every single day. I mean, we take random days off and do random things at different times. But we love real estate, and we are 24/7 real estate investors. We are looking for investors to help us build the most extensive database of buyers and sellers in the country so we can do what? We want to make more money. Even more money selling unsellable houses to unloanable buyers. So we've always used training as a way of expanding our network. We have hundreds, and in fact, we have thousands of investors across the United States that have been educated on how to become investors through us and through our training programs, and now they are part of our network. We do deals through our network. So the bigger the network, the bigger the net worth, and that's really our goal, and you're now part of our network, so welcome aboard. We grow our network through training, mentoring, partnering. We're always happy to educate investors on both the fundamental and advanced strategies of real estate investing, and we put a lot into this training. We don't hold anything back, so hope you're going to really enjoy it and value it and get a lot out of it. Now, one last thing I want to hit on in the introduction section, and I call it the pitfalls of the new investor. I always like to remind my students, this is not about learning cool stuff. This is not about the interesting nature of real estate. This is about doing deals and making money. If you just want to, you know, learn interesting things and not do anything, I think you're wasting your time. You need to get out there and actually do this stuff, no matter how well I teach you how to be a real estate investor, no matter how many new tricks and tips and secrets that I give you as part of this training program, until you actually get out there and apply it, it's not totally going to stick. It really is going to stick when you get out there and use it. So everybody wants to be a real estate millionaire. Everybody wants to be a real estate multimillionaire. But a lot of people go down that path. They say that's what they want to do, but they never get to the end. So why doesn't everybody that wants to be a real estate millionaire become a real estate multimillionaire? And I don't have all of the answers, but I've been educating people now for a couple of years, and I've got some pretty good ideas, and I want to share those with you at the end of our introduction here. So the first one is, you know, what I call too much learning, not enough doing. You know, it's great to read books and study videos and take training classes and get help learning this business. That gives people confidence, it gives them tools, and it's very, very necessary. But you get a certain number of investors that just get stuck in this perpetual learning curve and they never actually apply it. So you need to actually set goals and timelines and get out there and do deals. Sometimes the answer is not more education. Sometimes the answer is more practical experience. So I'm going to ask that you keep a lot of notes, put your plans together, set goals, get out there and do this. It's okay that you're not going to know exactly what to do in every situation. Nobody does. But, you know, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to learn a lot. But the second time you do it, it's going to be easier. And the third time and the fourth time. And before you know it, if you actually get out there and do this, it's going to just be easier and easier until before you know it, you're going to be a real estate investor. So get out there and apply what you're learning. Number two, not enough marketing. You know, when an investor comes to me and they say, I'm really trying hard, I really want to make money, but I'm just not making money, the first question that I ask them every single time is, how much marketing are you doing? I got news for you guys. This is a numbers game, right? The more marketing, the more leads, the more leads, the more deals, the more deals, the more dollars. It's pretty darn simple. If you're not doing any marketing, you're not going to get any leads, you're not going to get any deals, you're not going to make any money. So whenever I see people that are doing a ton of marketing, they're getting a ton of leads, you know, you're going to get better at each one of these things, turning the leads into dollars, turning the dollars into deals, and turning the deals into dollars. You're going to get better as you do more of it, but you've got to be doing marketing first and foremost before you do anything else, because you got to get that phone ringing with people who want to sell their homes. Until you're starting to talk to people and look at deals, you know, this is all just a big academic discussion. So get out there and do marketing. When we talk about doing marketing, and we have a whole quick start program where we talk about getting marketing and some of the business planning, we talk about getting marketing plans built and executed. The real key is to build a marketing plan. You need to set a budget. You need to say, I'm going to commit so many dollars and so many hours each month to doing this business. You know, people always ask, well, how much do I need to do? Well, you know, we talk about that a lot in the action plan and in the quick start videos. You know, not a whole lot. You know, there's half of these marketing strategies that we teach don't take any money at all. They just take time. Half of the strategies don't take any time. They just take money. So you have to figure out what you've got. Some people are working full time and they've got some money, but they don't have any time. Other people, you know, don't have very much money, but they have plenty of time. So you got to figure out what you've got and put together a budget. You need to commit, you know, I don't know, 200, 500, maybe 1,000, not more than that, certainly when you're getting started, but some number of dollars if you're going to throw money at it, and or some number of hours, you know, 10 hours a week, 20 hours a week, whatever, towards your marketing. And then you're going to take all these different marketing strategies we teach and start executing these different campaigns. And then number three is fear. A lot of people just never get out of the starting blocks because they have fear. They're afraid to talk to people. They're afraid of losing money. They're afraid to fail. Well, I got news for you. You need to find whatever that inner motivation is and get out there and do this. Here's a few tips to help you overcome some of these fears. You know, number one, you know, learn some of these different sales tools that will give you a lot more confidence and it'll embed your fear. Start by using no-risk strategies. One of the wonderful, amazing, beautiful, great things about the Mortgage Assignment Profit System is we're not putting any money into these deals. This is a no-risk strategy. You can't lose money if you don't spend any money, if you don't actually buy anything. So these are very, very low-risk strategies, and it's a great way to get started in real estate by using the no-money strategies, the no-risk strategies. You have nothing to be afraid of. You can't lose any money if you're not spending any money, and that helps get a lot of people started. Now, a lot of times the no-money strategies, you know, you got to put a little more mental energy into it, but it should be easy to get over any fear barrier because there's no risk when there's no money involved on your side. And then finally, you know, the other thing that can help people with fear, you know, education, mentoring, coaching, you know, things. These things will launch and accelerate your business. When I got started, I actually had two people that I had mentoring me, and they were teaching me and reviewing deals with me, and that was very helpful to me. If you can't afford a mentor, I understand, you know, then you're just going to have to study harder and kind of learn it on your own. You know, it's kind of like going to the gym, right? If you go to the gym, if you have the discipline to go to the gym every day, you know, and work on those machines, you will figure out the machines. You know, a mentor is kind of like a personal trainer. If you hire a personal trainer, you'll probably figure it out faster and probably reach your results quicker. But it doesn't mean you can't do it either way. The most important thing is you simply need to get yourself going to the gym, or in this case, you need to get yourself out there, you know, doing the marketing, calling people, you know, looking at deals, and doing deals. You'll get better and better at it until, promise you, one day you'll just wake up and you'll be a real estate investor.